From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, President Trump yesterday ordered the declassification of the secret FISA court documents and Justice Department text messages related to the Russia probe. In just a minute, we'll talk with Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, who has been pushing for the documents to be released. And you've heard the term deep state, forces in the shadows of government working to undermine the Trump administration. Is it real or a work of conservative fiction? We'll talk with Christina Wong with Breitbart, who has written a compelling article about the deep state at work at the U.S. Department of State. And it's Constitution Tuesday. Class is in session. Confirmation controversy. The Senate Judiciary Committee will reconvene for an additional hearing on Judge Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination, as will Christine Ford. They'll both testify under oath. Now, I have to ask the question, is this about justice or more about preventing a justice from being on the Supreme Court? We'll talk about that with Ken Blackwell, Senior Fellow for Human Rights and Constitutional Governance here at the Family Research Council. And we'll also get an update on the North Carolina relief effort with Chef Gary LeBlanc, founder and president of Mercy Chefs. He's in Wilmington, North Carolina, doing relief work. And we'll be taking your phone calls here on this Tuesday afternoon. Don't let me, let me remind you, don't you forget, the Values Voter Summit coming up this Friday. Yes, this Friday and Saturday, great lineup. You can look at all of it. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. The Vice President will be there, Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo will be there, Dr. Ben Carson will be there, Ollie North will be there, and my next guest will be there, the Chairman of the Freedom Caucus, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to be with you. Thank you so much. And obviously, this is going to be a busy week leading up to the Values Voter Summit, but it's always good to join you and your listeners. I've been out actually in the eastern part of North Carolina surveying the damage, and just would ask that, you know, your thoughts and prayers of all your listeners go out to all those that have suffered so much loss. But it also does your heart good to see how the church is reaching out, making sure that first responders are supported and communities are supported. It lets you know that there is a sense of community in the eastern part of North Carolina.
Well, we're going to do more than pray. We are praying, but we're also encouraging people to help through Samaritan's Purse and others. As I mentioned, we had Gary LeBlanc, chef that's feeding the first responders there in Wilmington. And so each day we're kind of keeping up with what's happening there. And I know this is the state you represent. You've been out there. How does it the extent of the damage? How does it look at this point?
Well, I was here during Hurricane Matthews, and actually I'm here with my good friend Mark Harris, who's running for Congress in the 9th Congressional District, and part of his county is just or counties that he represents, part of his district have been devastated. But I went up in a helicopter, which is a big deal for me. I hate to fly, and I went up in a helicopter with no doors but to survey the damage, and it was really just how much the rivers have gone out of their banks. There's houses that are underwater today that weren't underwater yesterday. So the danger still continues to be there. But I had one guy who says he's worked hurricanes for 37 years, and he said this is the best response that he's ever had, both locally and federally and at a state level. So a real shout-out to all our first responders. And thank you, Tony, and for all the relief efforts that – so many of your listeners are putting forth on behalf of the people of North Carolina.
Well, and don't forget the Cajun Navy from my home state of Louisiana.
How could I forget the Cajun Navy? I mean, so whether they're Cajun Navy from Louisiana or Swift boat, you know, and Swiftwater kind of responders from Vermont, we had all kinds of people from all over coming to this state. It's a real testament of how when we have a tragedy, the American people are really first to respond. They always are.
But, you know, that's actually relatively new. where we're actually seeing the Coast Guard. I know this is not the topic we're going to talk about, but it's important because it's happening right now. But what we've seen, especially under the Trump administration, where the government has reached out to the religious community, the church community, the nonprofit community, and taken them into their fold. We're in Houston. When the Cajun Navy from Louisiana went over to help there last year, the Coast Guard actually took them into their fleet and worked with them, as opposed to what happened in Katrina, you know, not quite 15 years ago, where they actually said, no, we don't want any private help. So this has gone a long way. It's not just Republican, Democrat, but it's an understanding that government alone can't solve these problems. They're too big.
Well, you're exactly right. I spoke to the president now three different times about just relief efforts, and he's the one that points out. He says, you know, we've got to be ready at the federal level, and the state and local needs to be there. But he says it's private citizens willing to many times sacrificially, take a boat or food. Or I was with Pastor Dove today, who had served 500 people today, and he's out there running on a generator, serving people, you know, in this small little area with no media, no recognition, and yet it does my heart good. And, you know, he broke into tears when he talked about what the people have lost here, and yet here is a pastor willing to serve the people in his community. And that's really what, it is God-honoring, without a doubt.
It is. In these challenges, in these challenging times, and they seem to become more frequent and more intense, but in these moments, we really do see the key to the greatness of America, and it is the fact that we love our neighbor, we love our country, and we love our God. And when those three things come together, good things happen.
Amen.
Let me shift gears to this topic that's obviously of importance, because you've been calling upon the Department of Justice to release these documents. The FISA court, which is a secret court, nobody knows about it. They issue these warrants and such. And the president now ordering yesterday that these documents related to the Russia probe be released. What do we know about this? Explain this to our listeners.
So the FISA court, you're exactly right, is a secret court that allows the federal government to really spy on American citizens. Now, normally that's for a worthwhile cause. It's for trying to stop terrorism and the like. But when it is deployed to try to interfere with an election, like happened with candidate Donald Trump, now President Donald Trump, it's just not what we expect with the FBI and the Department of Justice. And there were a few bad actors that, in my opinion, actually spent a whole lot of time really trying to feed information to the press, trying to make sure that they could spy on the Trump campaign. We believe that transparency is a good medicine, and so this transparency will happen in the coming days, mainly because we have a president that was bold enough to say, let's let the American people judge for themselves. So I applaud the president. Hopefully we'll get all these documents and start to see what they did right and what they did wrong and correct it for the future.
So how long, Congressman Meadows, will it be before the committee has access to these documents?
Well, you mentioned you've got a guest coming up here in just a little bit that talks about the deep state. Here's the real issue. I think that we'll get some of them in days, but the typical bureaucracy loves to just try to run out the clock on everybody. And we're reviewing it. I'm hopeful that we'll get some of the documents towards the end of this week, the balance of those the following week. But at any time, it should be a compressed timeline with the DOJ, Department of Justice. They are working it hard. I think what you'll find is that a number of people used surveillance methods and did not tell the court all they knew about innocence and guilt long before we had a special prosecutor. So we're excited about the fact that we'll finally be able to get to the bottom of this and put this Russian hoax behind us.
Right.
I can tell you, I've seen it. There's no evidence of collusion. There hasn't been, and there still is not.
So just if people know what our listeners know what's at really at issue here is that these FISA documents were based upon this dossier that was paid for by the Democratic Party and by Hillary Clinton, known to be now known to be based on false information. But were these warrants that allowed, as you said, the American government to spy on Americans? Was this based upon this information? We don't know that, and that's what we, as I understand, hope to find out from the release of these documents. Is that correct?
That's correct. And what we will find out, based on non-classified information, is that I believe all roads lead to this dossier that was paid for by Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee. Some $12 million, I think all roads lead to that. And when you allow your opponent to spend millions of dollars to allow the federal government to use abusive federal power to surveil American citizens, it's just not right. And I think it's time we get to the bottom of it. It looks like we'll do that in days, not months. And so it's a very welcome decision by the president.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, my guest. He has been traveling in the state of North Carolina, surveying the damage, helping constituents out there. He's also going to be back here in D.C. this coming weekend for the Values Voter Summit. He is one of our key speakers as the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Right now we're talking about the president's order yesterday releasing certain documents from the FISA court as well as text messages related to the Russia probe. Every American, really, regardless right, left, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, should want transparency in government.
Well, they should. And that's why I said transparency is good medicine for all of us. When you have an open and accountable, transparent government, it's what we should all want. It's interesting because that is something that conservatives and actually progressives can unite on. And they believe that, you know, using surveillance tools to really upend our Fourth Amendment right is not something that is good. And yet sometimes when you put the backdrop of, investigating the president or a special prosecutor, it's amazing how some of those convictions fail to get articulated. Mm-hmm. I believe, in this particular case, what we'll start to see is when people read what I've been able to see only at times in just very limited quantities, when they start to read it for themselves, they'll say, we cannot allow this to happen again in our country, and they'll require and demand action. But yet it is a troubling trend because I love law enforcement. I mean, you know, I'm a big law enforcement guy. The FBI, DOJ, 99.9% of them are very good. This was about seven different people that decided to take the law into their own hands and do things that were inappropriate.
And that's why we need to make sure the policies in place protect the essential freedoms. And there's a tension and a balance that we have to have there. Congressman Mark Meadows, as always, great to have you on the program. And we are praying for and encouraging people to help out the folks of North Carolina as they recover from Hurricane Florence. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you and God bless America, Tony.
All right, Congressman Mark Meadows. You know, this is one of the reasons I opposed the Patriot Act, even the state versions back when I was in office, because even though people said, well, we got a good conservative government, it can be used for ill purposes. All right, Deep State is next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. More information about the Values Voter Summit coming up this Friday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. To find out more how you can be involved, and yes, there is still room. Not much, but there is room. Go to tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. All right, you've heard the term deep state, the deep state. Well, in a compelling article in Breitbart News, which is entitled "The Deep State Exposed, Investigation Uncovers Foggy Bottom, Anti-Trump Leak Factory," that's a reference to the State Department, Christina Wong investigates leaks within the Trump administration and various federal agencies. Joining us now is Christina Wong, national security journalist with Breitbart, who covers the Pentagon and foreign affairs. Christina, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on.
I read your article this morning, your piece. I thought it was very insightful and interesting because it puts skin on this term deep state. Explain to our listeners deep state. What is it? Who is it? Does it exist?
It definitely exists. These are pretty much career civil servants who have been appointed to their current position by the former administration, and they're filling roles that would typically go to Trump appointees, but since Trump appointees have not been appointed yet, they fill these very senior positions in the State Department. And so these are essentially Obama loyalists who are filling appointee political positions before they are filled full-time. So that's a lot of the deep state. And there are some more mid-level officials, civil servants, but we're not talking about the vast majority. I mean, we don't know, but we're talking about definitely a group of very high-placed civil servants at the top who are trying to undermine Trump's agenda as best they can from their positions.
And this isn't just, I mean, you don't just make those allegations. You actually tell the account of a Trump appointee that went into the State Department, and I believe her name was Marie Stahl.
Yeah.
Explain that situation. Did you detail in your article?
Yes. So Mari Scull, she's a Trump appointee who joined the administration in April. And ever since she joined, she's been the target of repeated leaks. And these are it's leak after leak, article after article. There's typically been in, one publication, Foreign Policy. And there are all these anonymous allegations, you know, much as how we saw with the New York Times op-ed. These are just anonymous. You can't prove them. You can't disprove them. They're just out there.
But designed to undermine her credibility in the role that she has in the Trump administration, correct?
That is absolutely correct. And so one thing you'll see in these leaks, and this itself isn't really a leak, but an attempt to discredit her, but repeatedly calling her a wine blogger. She had a wine blog, but she's a syndicated wine columnist. But in every article, it repeats wine blogger turned appointee. And we're talking about a professional woman who's had more than 20 years in this international organization sphere. And she's a very accomplished person. She speaks French and Spanish. She volunteers with the USO. She's a devout Christian. And she's one of two Trump appointees in her bureau, which is the Bureau of International Organization Affairs. So she's one of two in a bureau of 500, and that's why I believe that these deep state career officials are targeting her, because she's vulnerable, not having a lot of other fellow appointees there, but she's also extremely effective.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Christina Wong, my guest, national security journalist with Breitbart. She's actually getting ready to catch a plane. She's in the airport. But I wanted to get her on today because of this article that she wrote for Breitbart. And you can find it. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow links over to her piece, because, you know, there's a lot of talk about deep state and people talk, you know, is this conservative fiction? I mean, Christina, this is real. This is happening. You detailed one aspect at the State Department, but this is happening throughout government.
It is. And we saw this with Tom Price. I believe he was the first major official to be pushed out. We saw this with Scott Pruitt. We're seeing this with other agencies. And what's part of this whole deep state network are former officials who are in contact with current officials. So what you see are current officials leaking to former officials who can then talk to the media, and then you see these leaks in the media, and then there's pressure for leadership to start investigations, and that lead to more articles, and then lead to the eventual ousting of the official. So you see this over and over again. And the group that may be behind this is there's this group called American Oversight. It's led by a former Obama official, senior counsel at the State Department, coincidentally. And they've just been launching investigation after investigation, requesting documents, under the Freedom of Information Act since February. So before Mari Scull's tenure at the State Department, they were investigating these so-called loyalty pledges and political retaliation. So this seems to this is their MO. You know, they are trying to look for this so they can oust Trump officials.
Christina, we're up almost out of time here, but quickly, what kind of feedback have you gotten from your article?
I hear it's having quite an impact over at the State Department, and I actually got a note today just thanking me for the reporting. And you know, it is rare that we get actual names and stories and incidents that we can expose this type of thing happening. So I'm getting a lot of good feedback.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like when you walk into a dark room at night, you turn the light on, you see these little bugs scurrying around. I think it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
all right, Christina, thanks.
Thanks
so much. Great article. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Christina Wong. It is an insightful piece because, again, you hear this term deep state, but this is not just allegations. It actually plays out for you how it's at work. All right, when we come back, speaking of deep state and political theater, Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Another hearing on Monday regarding the allegations of his accuser from 36 years ago. What do we make of it? Ken Blackwell, senior fellow here at the Family Research Council for Constitutional Governance, joins me next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch still to come.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
You are listening to Washington Watch, and I am Tony Perkins, and the website is tonyperkins.com. All right, the Values Voter Summit coming up this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And as I mentioned, one of the guests this coming Friday will be the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. We were just talking about the State Department and the deep state and all that's going on there. Well, it's interesting, an article that came out this afternoon in Politico. Headline is, Pompeo raises eyebrows with appearance at politically charged event. Subheading is, secretaries of state have historically avoided such partisan affairs, say former and U.S. officials. The article goes on to basically bash him for coming to the, you guessed it, the Values Voter Summit. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is slated to speak later this week to a gathering of American conservative activists. An unusual appearance for the top U.S. diplomat, whose role generally requires avoiding partisan affairs. Pompeo, a former Republican congressman, is scheduled to appear Friday at the Values Voter Summit, an event affiliated with the deeply conservative Family Research Council. The summit's speakers include a host of prominent Republicans and others on the political right. And it goes on to get to, you know, quote Democrats who say, you know, we would never do a thing like that. Here's a Democratic Capitol Hill aide saying, it is a little unusual to find a Secretary of State in such proximity to an election participating at what is clearly a political event. And then the Politico actually goes on to say that they reached out to try to get evidence of anyone who had done this before, and nobody they talked to knew anything about it. No other Secretary of State had done this. Well, guess what I found? Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's remarks at Planned Parenthood Federation of America Awards Gala, which, by the way, Politico ran a story announcing that she was going to speak at Planned Parenthood, which is more political than the Family Research Council. In fact, as she said in her speech, the overarching mission, this is quoting Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State speaking to Planned Parenthood, The overarching mission of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America and the cause of reproductive freedom that you continue to advance today is as relevant in our world now as it was 100 years ago. And she goes on to say, I was very proud when President Obama repealed the Mexico City policy. Went on to say, the United States will once again fund family planning through the United Nations. She said, I strongly support Planned Parenthood. I am honored to be Secretary of State and to have the opportunity to participate in the Planned Parenthood annual meeting. Unusual? Not so much so. Okay. Brett Kavanaugh, 11th hour. It's kind of like the October surprise of campaigns. After having an allegation that he did something 36 years ago as apparently a high school student, Dianne Feinstein had this allegation, sat on it for 6 weeks, and just now released it. The timing makes it all very suspect. Joining me now to talk about this, Ken Blackwell, senior fellow here at the Family Research Council for Constitutional Governance. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, good to be with you, sir.
And by the way, I know I ate up a lot of your time there in my monologue, but I'm going to hold you over, so don't go anywhere. You're going to get plenty of time.
All right.
Let's talk about this. Now, look, any type of allegation of sexual assault abuse is to be taken serious. But my question here to you is this. Is this really about justice of something that happened that may have happened 36 years ago, or is this more about keeping a justice off of the Supreme Court, given the timing of this and how they have delayed this to the last moment?
Well, given the timing of this, given the constant disruption of the orderly process during the confirmation hearings, given the fact that a lot of those folks who are now calling for Judge Kavanaugh's head have already said that they're not going to vote for him, makes this whole process suspect. You know, look, the reality is that this information was before a duly elected senator. She had the information. She had plenty of opportunities to raise this with Judge Kavanaugh in private, visits, consultations that he had with individual senators, in the public hearing, or in the questions, over 1,700 questions that were submitted to him after the hearing that he responded to. The fact that this is sprung at the last minute is not further evidence that this is a consistent pattern to disrupt and to throw the orderly process off the scheduled in-game conclusion.
Okay, so what are we going to see play out next week? They changed the timeline. There was actually supposed to be a committee vote this Thursday. That's been postponed. And so there'll be another hearing next week where the accuser and the judge will both be allowed to address the issue. That music means we're up against a break, Ken, so I want you to hang on. We're gonna go to a break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna get another update from North Carolina, real quick, from Chef Gary LeBlanc, who's in Wilmington, North Carolina, serving first responders. We're gonna get an update from him. Then Ken, we're gonna continue our conversation. So don't go anywhere. Don't go to sleep. Don't get a snack. Stay right there because we're coming back. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. All right, Ken, stand there. You stay there. We'll all stay here, and we'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're going to go back to Ken Blackwell here in just a minute. But first, I want to get another update on the ground in North Carolina. We heard from Congressman Mark Meadows earlier. Well, at least 33 people have died in storm-related incidents related to Hurricane Florence. 25 in North Carolina, 6 in South Carolina, 1 in Virginia. One of the hardest hit areas by Hurricane Florence was Wilmington, North Carolina. And Mercy Chefs, a Virginia-based disaster relief and humanitarian aid organization that serves professionally prepared restaurant-quality meals in emergencies, which I can tell you are nice. When you go without food for a few days, you get peanut butter and jelly, and all of a sudden you get a hot meal, believe me, it makes a big difference. Well, Mercy Chefs has deployed its team of professional chefs to Wilmington. They're there to feed the victims, volunteers, and work with first responders. And joining us now is Chef Gary LeBlanc. He is the founder and president of Mercy Chefs, which is a nonprofit, faith-based charitable organization committed to serving in times of need like this. Chef Gary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Gary, tell us, what's it look like right now there on the ground in Wilmington?
Well, thankfully today the sun is out and we're seeing some blue skies with some clouds passing through, but no rain today. But it has been a mess down here. Our team was on site Saturday, and we have had such a time getting in and out. They are actually isolated here in Wilmington for 3 days. We weren't able to get anybody else into them or out, but we've been able to pick our way around today, and a couple of the roads have reopened.
So are you set up now in serving? Are you still in the process of getting things situated?
No. We've been serving here since Sunday morning. Saturday night we arrived, we set up. The very first meals we sent out went to first responders and search and rescue teams and law enforcement here who had been without a hot meal for 2 days. So we were so proud to be able to bring them hot meals, and they were pretty grateful.
And Gary, I know how that is because it usually takes a while for the government to respond. And the government response has been good. I'm not being critical. But it usually they wait for things to settle down and then they move in. But these, you know, faith-based, church-based organizations like yours go in immediately. And those first 72 hours, I have found now in the five different events that I've been involved in, are critical because you're right. There's no electricity. There's no way to get food. Many of these first responders working around the clock. And unless you've gone for, you know, a few days without food, you don't know what a hot meal means. It means a heck of a lot.
Well, we think amazing things happen over a hot shared meal, and we're proud to be able to do it. And you're right, to be able to do it rapidly is, for us, part of our hallmark and part of our core mission. We really work hard to be on site within 8 hours of an event and start out by feeding the first responders in search and rescue. And then we work right into feeding the victims and the other volunteer teams that come in. And we'll be here in Wilmington for weeks supporting the recovery effort as well.
So you plan on being on the ground there for a while?
I'm going to be here as long as they need us. One of the things we want to always make sure is that when the restaurants do start to reopen, that we don't stay around. You know, if you're giving out 15 or 16,000 meals a day, you're hurting the local economy, and we never want to do that either. But we do want to be able to stand in the gap until everybody's able to get back on their feet.
And that can take weeks. I know from experience that can take weeks for that to happen, especially when the devastation is so widespread from the flooding. How can folks find out more about what you're doing, Gary?
Well, we'd love for them to follow us on Facebook or go to our website. On the website, there's information about how you can pray for us, how you can actually volunteer with us, and then how you can support us financially. The needs are great down here, and we want to be able to do everything we can for these folks that have lost so much in this storm.
All right, we're going to encourage people to check that out. We've also got a link at TonyPerkins.com. If you can volunteer, if you can, if a cook, you can't cook, you can still clean pans, and I'm sure Gary will take you, but they also, they can use your resources and obviously your prayers. Gary, thanks so much for the update. Look forward to checking in with you again.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you. We'll give you any updates you need. Thank you.
All right, Chef Gary LeBlanc with Mercy Chefs. Again, to find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. And for those that have gone through these natural disasters, you know what I'm saying, and you've related to it. When your home floods and you don't have the means in terms of like a kitchen to fix anything for months, one hot meal a day is quite significant. I know our church, after the 2016 flood, we were feeding one meal a day for almost 6 months because people just didn't have the ability to fix it. And not everybody can afford to eat out every day once the restaurants did open up. And we served over 50,000 meals, and a lot of that was because of folks across the country who stood together with us as we did that. So I encourage you to support those ministries like Samaritan's Purse, Mercy Chefs, and others who are on the ground meeting the needs, especially the church base. Look, let me just say this. I'm not going to hit it a lot, but before you give your money to Red Cross or United Way or some of those secular organizations that often exclude the faith-based organizations, look at Samaritan's Purse. Look at these groups like Mercy Chefs, the ones that we have on here on Washington Watch. Look, these natural disasters happen. We're going to talk about them. We're going to bring you the people in the church that are being the hands and feet of Jesus, ministering not just the physical needs, but as Franklin says, look, we want to do it in the name of Jesus. And folks, if you're a believer and you want to give, and you should want to give, you should want to help, do it through an organization that's going to meet the greater need. All right? Okay. Ken Blackwell's been holding on. Ken, thank you so much for holding on. Normally don't do that. But I want to go back to what we were talking about here with Judge Brett Kavanaugh. This timeline of, sitting on this allegation for 6 weeks, they spring it at the last moment. It appears that it's all designed to derail the nomination. We're going to have a hearing on Monday. What's the timeline look like going forward?
Well, first, it's going going to be interesting to see if we do have a hearing on Monday. The committee has yet to hear back formally that Professor Ford will be there on Monday. If, in fact, they don't hear back from her on Monday, the question is, should he be allowed to go on the record and clear up the confusion and state his case? That's going to be fascinating to see how they handle that. My best guess, Tony, is that she won't show up on Monday. That she and her lawyer will push back and ask for a delay and say that they would be ready to appear before the committee sometime in mid-October or later, and that would totally make this all a political farce and push it to probably pass the election. So, look, I think that we must call this for what it is. This woman is entitled to have her case heard. It would have been nice if her case would have been heard, her charge would have been heard, at the front end of the process, because Senator Feinstein had that information and could have asked in a number of ways and in a number of times throughout the process for his response to this accusation.
Let me ask you about that, Ken. Is it true that she actually had this information in her possession when she met with Judge Kavanaugh?
Yes. And she could have asked for a meeting right after the public hearing, or she could have asked for an answer to the charge in writing. Like I said, he responded to over 1,700 questions. Look, there's nothing in his record that is consistent with this charge. While I think that, we are living in a time when women who are abused, assaulted, groped, have a right to advance their case. But at the same time, someone who has served on the second highest court of the land, who has gone through six FBI investigations, who is in fact an upstanding citizen and family man and father, should be drugged through this is outrageous. I ask your listeners to think about not only his wife but his two girls. They are old enough, and we know that today through social media, they will be bombarded with this. Not to give him a fair airing is a disservice to decency and a disservice to him and his family.
So, but as I understand it, he will have a chance to address this before the committee as well.
Yeah, but there's this great debate going on now: is that if she doesn't show, does he want to go on the stage and put himself in a situation where he has to deal against, not on the record accusations by this woman, but more importantly, just think about the shenanigans that went on during the public hearing that he won't, Cory Booker,
sure.
Harris, Senator Harris. Does he really want to go through that?
Well, but I'll tell you this, I give him high marks for how he handled himself through that political theater.
Absolutely. So he probably, because as I know, from talking with folks close to him, he was ready to go immediately back and deal with this head on, to face his accuser and to respond to each charge. Again, if that's what he's willing to do and that's what he wants to do, Senator Grassley will probably afford him the opportunity to do just that. I'm just hoping that if she refuses to show, that they won't cave in and string this out to late October or past.
I think if she refuses to show, that is even more revealing than the fact that they set on this for 6 weeks, met with him, did not bring it up in the closed door sessions, did not bring it up in the hearing, waited until the last moment to drop this as if it were a trump card, so to speak, to keep him off of the court.
Oh, I mean, absolutely, Tony. I tell your listeners to concentrate on Collins, Senator Collins, Murkowski, and Senator Flake, because in the final analysis, if they hold strong, if in fact they deal with what's in front of them, his record and his performance at the hearing and in their private conversations, they will move on. He will be the sitting justice, and at their first meeting in October. That's a matter of fairness. That's a matter of having given her an opportunity to make her case in direct confrontation with him.
All right. Well, we'll be watching it, obviously, very, very closely. Ken Blackwell, as always, great to have you on the program.
Let me just say I can get back to sopping my venison gravy with biscuit. Thanks to you for skinning and butchering that venison that we hit.
That right. I'm not going to tell them where you shot it, but
all right,
but it's coming up. It won't be long, and we'll be back out there on the deer stand. All right, Ken Blackwell, as always, great to have you on the program.
All right, brother.
Yeah, ask me sometime about that shot that he made. I'll tell you about it. Look, just before we wrap up here, almost out of time, but, you know, this, you know, hashtag Me Too era that we are in, it's instructive. And hear me here. I don't want to in any way appear that we're dismissive of these allegations. They're all serious. Anyone who has been the subject of assault or abuse or whatever. But at what time will we have the broader conversation? You know, the left is using this, and it's interesting. The left is the one that's been most impacted by this, and of course, everyone is guilty when charges are made. And I don't know how you prove yourself innocent. But what about the environment that's been created that's led to this sexualization of our culture? Are we looking at the cause and effect in the free sex lifestyle? I mean, there's so many implications here. When are we going to have that conversation? But yet we're rushing forward to even fuel this sexualization, like in our elementary schools, with the graphic, pornographic, I should say, sex ed training, and then of course the transgender bathrooms, the whole gender confusion issue. I think there's a time to have a bigger conversation here. All right, folks, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Make your plans now to join us this weekend for the Values Voter Summit. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.